What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And there is breaking news about 90 minutes ago that we start our show with, and that is that Emmanuel Forbes is going to be out for some undetermined amount of time with wrist surgery / thumb surgery. He's got a torn ulnar collateral ligament. Yes, that is the one that if you're a baseball pitcher requires you to get Tommy John surgery. This sounds like it's more on the thumb side of his UCL, not the elbow side of his UCL. It's a big ligament that runs up your arm on the ulnar, which is the bone. You didn't think you're going to get an anatomy lesson, did you, Anthony? You didn't know that I knew all that about the UCL, huh?
I did not know all of that, but now yeah. I do.
You got your ulnar, and it runs up there, and that's why you got the ligament that runs up, and you got the thumb and the elbow, and there's a bone that connects the two. Yeah, it's your ulnar bone.
That hurts.
Yeah, so he's got a torn UCL, according to Ian Rappaport, and now been confirmed by all the usual local suspects, and that sucks for him. It sucks a whole lot for him. And I think there's like kind of three main points here. There's what does this mean for Emmanuel? What does this mean for the team in the short term? What does this mean for the team in the long term? And the first two are similar. It's bad. I know that might sound crazy because Emmanuel Forbes didn't play that well last week, and I didn't think he played with the kind of intensity and all that kind of stuff that they expect, but maybe he had a torn ligament in his thumb and that could have affected his ability to perform, because performing while in pain is a skill that some people perform better than others, and I also wouldn't want to go have to make tackles if I had a torn ligament in my thumb. So there's that. I think on the very short term, like, obviously this is bad for Emmanuel. This is a guy that wants to be able to go out and prove himself, prove that he's a better player. But then again, it might be a good thing for Emmanuel. It might get him off the field, let him reset, let him watch how they continue to coach and teach, and maybe he can learn some things from the sideline. Ultimately, he's going to have to go out and play to keep his spot on the team in the long term. And I'm not talking just about the rest of the season, but starting spot, but then a roster spot ultimately going into next year. He's going to go out and have to play and play well. And if this is a chance for him to reset after a tough outing on Sunday in the opener, then, you know, it sucks because, you know, his wrist probably really hurts and being in physical pain is not fun. It sucks because he, you know, if Noah Igbinoghene or someone else goes out and plays really well, are they going to want to put him back in? You never want to lose your spot to injury, because there's always a risk that you don't get put back in. But I think a lot of people are going to look at this for the team and say, like, this is bad for the team. And I would tell you that based off training camp, that is not the case. Now, there's definitely a chance they play better. I would say almost certainly they're going to play better than they did on Sunday, because they can't play much worse defensively than they did on Sunday. That is something that they just, this staff has real focuses on what they want to correct for this week, things they want to get right. You know, Joe Witt talked about today. He's like, we got to fix our leverages. We got to fix our discipline. We got to fix our communication. And they have ways to go about doing that are going to produce better results. They're also not facing a team that has the potency and firepower that, and cohesion and all those things, that Tampa had. And by the way, New York also has Daniel Jones, who is not currently remotely near Baker Mayfield's neighborhood. So for the team, they have to now play someone that got beaten out by Emmanuel Forbes in training camp. And I think that that's important to say, because most of what all of you out there have seen is the Emmanuel Forbes that we saw on Sunday, which looked very similar to the Emmanuel Forbes that we saw last year. But I was there for enough of training camp to see Emmanuel Forbes, the good version, the guy who's breaking on balls, getting his hands in there, making plays, locking guys down. Did he get beat by Terry McLaurin deep quite a few times? Yeah. Was there inconsistency? Yeah. But was he consistently better than Michael Davis? Yes. Was he consistently better than Noah Igbinoghene? Yes. Was he consistently, frankly, better than Benjamin St. Juice? I don't know about consistently, but the last couple of weeks of camp, probably. He was probably better than BSJ and deserved to be the number one corner on the depth chart and the number one guy on the roster. So I think that we have to be realistic about the fact that we're talking about a guy that at his best is the best that they've got. And now you for sure are having BSJ kind of be your number one guy, and we've seen what's happened the last bunch of years when that's the case. Or you're hoping that Michael Davis all of a sudden is something that he wasn't all camp and didn't show real consistently last year. Like, he had a couple good years with the Chargers, but there's a reason they were ready to let him go. Or Noah Igbinoghene, who's been a more of a journeyman type guy, but has some potential, and that he plays at a level that he frankly never has before. And I think in some ways it's kind of like when fans always root for the backup quarterback, right? The backup quarterback's the favorite guy on the roster until the second that he's got to play. Then you realize why he was the backup. And what I think would be a silly reaction to the Emmanuel Forbes injury is, one, any form of joy for someone getting hurt. That is inhumane, and that is not going to be tolerated on this year radio show. But on a much more, less human level, on a pure football level, I think it'd be silly to think that they have something better. Now, I also think that what we saw last week was not the best version of Emmanuel Forbes, and that week two Emmanuel Forbes healthy would have been better than week one Emmanuel Forbes, healthy. So he's going to grow, he's going to get better, and again, that doesn't mean that someone can't come in and play better than Forbes did. It's just, we won't know what Forbes would have been had he not gotten hurt, had he been able to stay out there, and had he continued to hopefully show the kind of growth that he showed in training camp when he eventually did turn the corner and did play the way that they want and get the results that they're looking for. So short term, and for Emmanuel Forbes, I feel really bad for him because I hate dudes getting hurt. It's an unfortunate reality of not just football, but pro sports, that this happens, of athletics. I mean, shoot, I twisted my ankle running today. I'm fine. It was a minor deal. But, like, it happens. You exist in the world. You can get hurt. And the higher athletic output you need, certainly NFL football, this is the kind of stuff that happens. Collisions at high speed. I don't know how he did it. Whatever it was, he's got a torn UCL. He needs thumb/wrist surgery. He also is going to probably be on the wrong end of better results, in that whoever is out there this weekend is probably going to play better than he did last weekend. That does not mean that he ultimately is a worse player than whoever that is. I'm guessing it's going to be Igbinoghene. But that's also NFL football. This is not saying everyone should cry for Emmanuel Forbes. Like, this is the unfortunate reality of how this league works, is that if, because you're no longer facing Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, you go out there and Noah Igbinoghene is able to play really well against Wandale Robinson and a rookie Malik Nabers in his second game, well, everyone's going to be like, how you said that there are worse players out there. It's like, yeah, Forbes could have probably done the same thing, but he's not going to get that opportunity. And maybe he comes back in week three and has to deal with Ja'Marr Chase, and that's going to suck. Or maybe it's not till week four and there's good receivers, basically throughout their entire schedule. So at the end of the day, Forbes will get another shot. And I hope that by then he has got it figured out up top in a way that he is not just like in a good headspace, but that he is in a place where the communication and responsibilities are clear. He can go out and play fast and play physical. He can get his hands on some footballs and show the ability that he showed in college to be the SEC's all-time leader in pick sixes, if not the NCAA, I believe's all-time leader in pick sixes. But for now, it is yet another shot to this cornerback room that feels kind of thin to start with, where there was a lot of experimentation of, can this guy that hasn't played as well as we have wanted so far, whether that's Forbes, whether that's St. Juice, on down the list, can those guys turn it around? And they're going to have to turn it around this weekend without 13 out there. Stoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, we'll take your calls and reaction to the news, 301-230-0980. Emmanuel Forbes out. We're not quite sure for how long yet. Obviously, if any news comes through, we will pass it along. But Emmanuel Forbes out, needs wrist surgery. What you make of it? 301-230-0980. We take your calls next on the Hoffman Show.